The Lord blessed me with a title for this message, Praying with Absolute Confidence. All week you've been studying about effective prayer, and I believe what the Lord would have us focus on tonight is how we can pray with absolute confidence in Him. Well, our text today, if you open your Bibles with me to 1 John 3, we're going to be looking at verses 21 to 24. And then we'll be moving on quickly to 1 John 5, verses 14 and 17. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now she who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in her. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Going to 1 John 5, 14 through 17. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Wow. Aren't these passages exciting? I hope that you have come here tonight desiring a more effective prayer life, desiring that things would change in your relationship with God as it relates to prayer. Well, get ready to be changed tonight by God's word. Remember that it's alive and active in you, because I believe that John has given us five great truths here in the passages we are studying to teach us how to pray with absolute confidence, and also to know that we have received what we have asked for in prayer. So if you're taking notes, let's get started. Truth number one. The foundation of our confidence is the blood of Jesus. You know the song, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is so true. This word confidence literally means boldness. And this boldness is ours, not because of anything we've done or we've earned, but because of the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus gives us this assurance, this boldness as we approach God in prayer. Hebrews 10:19 says it all. Therefore, sisters, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I just thought I'd try calling you beloved tonight, because that's what John calls us. Isn't that awesome? So beloved. Remember, it is not because of who you are, but whose you are. You are a child of God, as John's been telling you. You are a daughter of the King. Your confidence is toward God in your relationship with Him, and your confidence is in His faithfulness. Who, by the way, I just want to remind you tonight, as we did with that lovely song, and thank you, Jamie. Oh, it's beautiful. That God thinks the world of you. He is crazy about you. Ephesians chapter 1, which is one of my most favorite chapters in the Bible, you and I are told there that we are blessed. We are blessed. God has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. There is nothing that He has held back. We are chosen. You are chosen. God chose you before the foundations of the earth. He has accepted you into the beloved. He has welcomed you into His family, into the sisterhood. He has forgiven you, and He remembers your sins no more, as far as the east is from the west. And I sit here standing with you as someone that has been redeemed. We sit here as new creations in Christ. We need to remember that the old is gone. And the new is here. We are new in Jesus Christ. And we have an inheritance, not only an earthly one, but a heavenly one, that we share with Jesus to all of his praise and to all of his glory. Now here's the key. To the extent that you and I believe that that is true, that those things that God tells us are true, who we are in Jesus, that we apply the blood of Jesus to every aspect of our life, it is to that extent that it will then impact how confidently you and I pray. We need to believe it. We need to know it. We can be confident in it. Truth number two. We are to have a clear conscience when we pray. There is nothing like a clear conscience to give us boldness and confidence before God in prayer. And what does this mean practically? This means, ladies, keeping short accounts with God. And what do I mean by that? It's so important to remember here that the promise John is speaking of is to those who love God. And how is our love demonstrated to God? In our obedience to his commands and in our abiding relationship with him. Denise explained this so well last week. Righteousness behaving in love. Is my life exhibiting a pattern of love and good works? And yes, you and I will sin, but confessing it immediately before God and turning right away from it keeps us free to receive God's love, and it keeps the channel of his love flowing through us and extending out to others. Ephesians 2:18 tells us that through Jesus, we have access by the Holy Spirit to the Father. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What a privilege. Access to God through the Holy Spirit. And of course, our desire would be to pray in the Spirit at all times without quenching the Spirit. We don't want this access that God has been provided for us to be blocked in any way. There are roadblocks, and these roadblocks are things which hinder our prayers from being answered, and you studied some of those this week, and God showed me some other ones today in my time of study. There's actually six areas that I believe the Lord wants to speak to us about, these things that can hinder the answers to our prayers. The first one, and we can all admit right now and confess that we are guilty of this sin, is prayerlessness. We simply fail to pray. Samuel said, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Continued prayerlessness in our lives is a sin. And why is it a sin? It's a sin of pride. For it says to God, "I don't need you, God. I can do this on my own." Secondly, the book of James tells us that we can have wrong motives when we pray, that we can actually ask amiss. And we can avoid asking amiss if we will enjoy a daily walk with God in his word. As we abide in his word and it becomes alive in us, his spirit speaks to us. And if we're in the word every day, God's will is right in front of us. Right in front of us. We lapse a few days out of the Word of God. It's so easy for our will and our desires to be present right before us. And this is how you know the Spirit's alive and well in you, and I'm sure you have all experienced the same thing that I have. You have a little tiff, a misunderstanding, an argument, call it what you may, with your husband, a family member, could be a sister in the Lord or a co-worker. And we know how well the Holy Spirit does his job, don't we? You can't do one more thing until you ask that person for forgiveness. It will eat you alive. Have you had that happen before? I've had that happen many times. But this is good. This means that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in you. The Holy Spirit is convicting you and drawing you to himself, leading you to repentance. And it's good because that helps us to keep short accounts with God. So we need to respond when the Spirit points that out to us. But here, ladies, is the biggest roadblock of all. When we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, the first thing that suffers, the first thing that goes, is our vertical relationship with God. And it's so important that we take that seriously. He cannot forgive us until we forgive. And what happens then in our prayer life? The Holy Spirit is quenched. And not only that, our prayers become skewed. They lose sight of God. They become fleshly because we have something there that is not of God, that is quenching His Holy Spirit. I have the opportunity here at Vista to be so blessed to counsel and pray with the women here at our body. And I can tell you that unforgiveness and bitterness is huge in a woman. I think especially for women. We tend to just hold things, hold on to things and not let go. But we really need to stop blaming and harboring unforgiveness, because until that vertical relationship with God is right, we're at a standstill. We cannot move forward. Remember, Denise's teaching on Cain was awesome last week. We don't want to give the enemy an opportunity to plant a root of bitterness in our heart. Paul is clear in Ephesians 4:29-32, where he says, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Put away all bitterness, wrath, and anger from you, and be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another." That is God's heart for you. Our fifth hindrance is a lack of love in our relationships. 1 Peter 3:7-9, Peter tells us that we're to live in harmony with one another. And John tells us that we're actually to lay our lives down for each other. Denise asked us a good question last week. How is your love life? How are your relationships going with your husband, with your children, with your friends, with your coworkers? Are you walking in love? And last, we can find ourselves becoming selfish in our giving. Proverbs 21:13 tells us that if we shut our ears to the cry of the poor, we too will cry out and not be answered. We don't want to be like those in the book of Haggai who were caring for the needs of their own home while the house of God was being neglected. I ask you a question tonight, ladies. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to make it all about us, to make our lives, us, the focus of our lives. Has your life become all about you, or are you giving of your time, your energy, and your resources to the kingdom of God? Ask yourself tonight, do you need to remove any of these roadblocks so that you can benefit from the fullness of God's power in your life? If you need help or if you need support in taking a step to do this, I'm sure the prayer team or myself tonight after the study would be happy to come alongside you tonight and pray for that very thing. Remember that God answers the prayers of those who keep His commands and of those who do things that are pleasing in His sight. The effective prayer of righteous women avails much. So in order to live confident and victorious prayer lives, we live in the fullness of His Holy Spirit. And what does that look like practically? Yielding ourselves moment by moment, assured and knowing, confident that He abides in us. The third truth is praying in the will of God. I'm sure you've asked yourself this question, how can I be sure I'm praying in the will of God? Well, I have a great answer for you that made it really simple for me. Keep your prayers promise-centered and not problem-centered. This is how we can know the will of God. We focus on the promise, not on the problem. It is the promises in His Word that can assure us we are praying according to His will. Many of you know and have prayed for me, and I thank you for your prayers, that in September of last year, I was taken to the urgent care by my husband. I was feeling horrible as I left work, not knowing quite what was wrong, and found out that my blood pressure was 200 over 95. If any of you know blood pressure, that's very high. In fact, they took me right away, believing I might be having a heart attack, and I was praying, "Lord, am I having a heart attack?" And as I followed up with doctor appointments and visits and tests after that, I found out that the condition of my health was quite poor. As a consequence, truly, of my own neglect of taking care of myself, my cholesterol was high. I was diagnosed as pre-diabetic, and I had anemia. And when the doctors told me this and told me the changes that I would have to make in my life, needless to say, I was overwhelmed. So I share with you, gals, when you have a trial come into your life or a struggle and you are overwhelmed, we begin to think crazy things, don't we? We just begin to think, our mind just goes. And my husband almost literally had to shake me because I was saying, God is trying to kill me. And he said, Margie, why would God try to kill you? And once I came to my senses and I prayed and I sought the Lord, I understood that God was trying to heal me. But isn't it take that time with the Lord and praying and taking it to Him to get His perspective on things? His perspective is always one that's filled with hope. And for about 3 weeks, I really struggled. I was overwhelmed with all the changes. I didn't know how I was going to make these changes in my life. I knew that God was asking me to set aside some of the things I'd love to do in ministry. And God was showing me that He had to be enough. And it was one Sunday, probably about 3 weeks after, as I was worshiping, that I just began to weep. And as I wept, God just began to minister to my heart. And I know at that moment I truly surrendered. I had been praying for a word, for a promise from Him for 3 weeks, and He had been silent. And I realized that He was waiting for me to give that problem to Him. And a dear sister in the Lord came up to me after that service, and she said, the Lord has a word for you. I was like, grabbed her, took her out. Really? Really? I want to hear the word. I've been waiting for a word. And she said, I want to take you to Psalm 138. And I want to share with you tonight the promise that I'm walking in right now. Psalm 138, verses 7 and 8. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. That promise changed my life because God told me that He would perfect all that concerned me, that I could rest in Him, that He would take care of all the things that overwhelmed me. And you know what? He has. I'm walking in that now. He made room for me to exercise and take walks at the beach. He showed me how to change my diet. He's helping me learn to say no to foods that I love and to develop some much-needed self-control and discipline in my life. And I'm happy to say, too, and share with all of you that I've lost 22 pounds. I have many to go, but God has done this work. And I prayed, God, would this, you use this in my life to bring you glory, Lord? I don't want to trust in diets. I don't want to trust in books. I don't want to trust in the fitness center, Lord. I want to see you change me because only the kind of changing that God does is permanent. So, my sisters, you can be assured that the promises in His word, when you are praying those promises, you are praying according to His will. Pray with your Bible open. This has changed my life. When you are in the Word in the morning, you can pray as you're in the Word. It is so awesome to pray and have that relationship with God while you're in the Word. I no longer pray with my Bible closed. I love praying with my Bible open. Because as you do, the Holy Spirit ministers to you. He'll speak to you. He will give you a word. He will guide you through God's word and take you to where you need to be. And he's going to give you a word, a promise that you can stand on. And when he does, you need to highlight it, circle it, write it down on an index card, memorize it, write it on your heart and make it yours. Believe it and walk in it. But then here comes the hard part. Be patient. That's so hard in this fast-paced world that we live in, where we're used to getting everything that we want when we want it. But remember that God's timing is perfect. And walking in the promise is faith. And God is desiring to see your faith strengthened as you wait on the promise. And I am waiting with many of you in here tonight for things that God has promised you. Many of you, I just want to smile at you right now, because I am believing God with you for those things. And it's exciting. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Remember, walking in the promise and will of God is trusting him, knowing he's faithful. Be as certain as Abraham. Romans 4:20-22. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Amen? Amen. He was convinced, fully convinced, that what God promised him, he was able to perform. So you might ask the question, how can I know God's will when I have no promise for a particular situation? God gives us an answer to that too in Romans 8:26-27. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness when we don't know what to pray. I experienced this personally. I was so overwhelmed, I didn't know where to begin in my prayer life when my health took that turn for the worse. There were so many things, my ministry here at Vista, my ministry to women leaders, my family, so many things I had to take into account that I didn't know where to begin or even how to pray. But the Holy Spirit helped me in that. He intercedes on our behalf in accordance of God's will. So if you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit is going to come alongside you and plead your case. And he's also going to be the one, as we're told in the word, that leads you into all truth. He's going to give you the answers. He's going to provide you with God's will when you don't know it. Truth number 4. Oh my gosh, I love this one. We are to pray in the power of the name of Jesus. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. John says again in his Gospel, 14:13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. John 14:14, you may ask for anything in my name. John 16:23, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. 3 important things, though, as we come and we pray in Jesus' name. That it is for God's glory that we pray. It is according to God's will when we come in the name of Jesus. And our requests flow not out of our fleshly desires and wants and needs, but out of our abiding fellowship with Christ. And most importantly, when we pray in Jesus' name, we need to recognize that we have no merit before God in and of ourselves. It is only the result of our relationship with Jesus that we come and we have confidence. So ask yourself tonight, be thinking about this week. What one thing do you believe that God wants to do in or through your life that is his will and for his glory? And have you asked God yet to do that based on your relationship to him through Jesus? I encourage you this week, think about that and ask him. Truth number 5, pray for others. Be an intercessor. John shares with us in 1 John 5:16 that we should ask or pray for our sister or brother that is in sin. This is a pattern of love, sisters, that should be a part of our Christian life. An outworking of love that John speaks about, that we stop focusing on our own needs and we pray for others. The Lord prompted me in January of last year to meet with some dear sisters in the Lord once a week to intercede for others. This has ignited my personal prayer life. This has brought me to a deeper walk and understanding of God. And I can tell you truthfully that it has been the most exciting time of my Christian walk. You see, our confidence in God is strengthened as we begin to understand His agenda for the world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And beware, sisters, when you begin praying confidently. Kingdom prayers demand great courage because they are dangerous. They boldly expect God to live up to His character. And as He does, we are blown away. We begin to see His hand in everything, and we come to know His power and witness His miracles. And more importantly, as we dare to stand in the gap, He may ask us to become the very answer to our prayers, if He so wills it. This has happened to me. We began praying in January these awesome kingdom prayers. As we would praise God, His Spirit would come and minister to us, show us how to pray, show us His heart for people around the world, show us His heart for the lost. Oh, we would weep with God's heart for the things that He desired us to pray for. One of the things we were drawn to pray for was a friend of mine in Africa who has an orphanage. We began praying for the people in Africa. We began praying for poor people around the world. We began praying that God's gospel would be spread. And then we prayed the crazy prayer, the Isaiah prayer. Send me, Lord. Send me. Oh, my goodness. In May of 2007, in my ministry, we received an invitation to come to Africa. I was like, Lord, not me. Actually, Busia, Uganda, which I have never heard of, now I'm looking very much forward to going to, as I've gotten over my fear and initial shock that God has asked us to, my husband and I, to take a team over to Busia, Uganda, and to bring the Word of God to the people over there who are desperate for it. It has been the most exciting journey of my Christian life so far, and have made brothers and sisters in Christ over there that I love already, having never met, that we've been discipling over email. These people don't have Bibles. They are hungry for the Word. We've been able to send Bibles through a miraculous work of God. Kingdom praying. Kingdom praying. In Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God, his basis for the study makes note that you and I should be aware of where God is working. And when we find out where God is working, we need to join Him in that work. So I have a challenge for you tonight. Are you up for it? Say yes. You're looking at me like, no. You're supposed to say yes. Well, in case you haven't noticed, or if you haven't been paying attention lately to what's been going on here at Calvary Chapel Vista, God is calling us as a church to pray. He's called and spoken to our pastor. And He's calling His church at large to pray, as evidenced by this week of prayer and fasting in our community. God's asking us to humble ourselves. He's asking us, with so much of our comforts here, to admit our need for Him. But have we become too comfortable? Have we become too confident in our own lives to seek Him, to join our church family in corporate prayer? You know, it's so funny how you pray and God answers you. I so wanted to have the opportunity to speak to our church about prayer and about coming alongside our pastor in this. And God gave it to me. This is like a promise that I'm walking in tonight, and I'm so excited. When you read the Acts church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. We are so blessed here to have a shepherd and shepherdess that feed us so richly. We have Bible studies galore. We are blessed to have home groups and so many opportunities for fellowship and food. But we enjoy communion together the first Wednesday of every week. But it saddens my heart that our times of prayer that our pastor has called for are attended by very few in our church. In a church this size with at least a couple thousand people, to have a couple dozen show up to pray, it saddens my heart. Why don't we want to come and pray together? And not that God can't work with a few, because he can. Great revivals have begun with two or three. But let's be real. Why don't we want to join God where he's working? Why don't we want to come alongside our pastor as he calls us as a church, as one called by God to come together and pray? What's holding you back from receiving the fullness of your Christian life and experiencing the joy of prayer with your brothers and sisters? Jesus said, "Ask and receive that your joy may be full." Do you desire to see revival in your own life? I do. Do you desire to see revival in our community, in our church, in the world? I do. Do you desire to know God more intimately, to have him reveal himself to you in ways that you can't even imagine? Do you want to play a part in God's plan for his world? Then I want you to take a step of faith tonight and join us the second and fourth Sunday nights at 5 o'clock p.m. in the fellowship hall. My prayer, and it has been my prayer, is that we will have to move it to the sanctuary to accommodate the hundreds who will come. Amen? The first Tuesday of every month, the women meet in the nursery at 9 o'clock a.m. to intercede on behalf of the body of Christ here at Vista. It's a beautiful, sweet time of prayer. We're also praying for our pastor and the leadership here and our new building, which we need to be praying for. Don't you want to be a part of that? God put it on Pastor Steve's heart to have prayer going on during all three services on Sunday. What is going on? The Holy Spirit is moving. God is calling us to become a church that prays. And my own personal plug tonight is God has blessed me to be the coordinator for our intercessory prayer team for our women's retreat coming up in April. And if you feel so led, you can sign up for that tonight. But do you see the pattern? We need to be paying attention. We have a pastor that seeks the Lord and hears from God. When he speaks, we should be paying attention to what God is speaking through him. God is touching this man's heart with a passion to pray. We need to come alongside our pastor and respond to God's call as a church to pray. Now, you may say that you pray at home, and that is great. I hope that you do. But we are called as the body of Christ, as priests, to pray together corporately. There's something that happens when we all come together with one heart, mind, and purpose, seeking God desperately for his heart, strengthening each other in our time of prayer, stirring one another to love and good works. Don't you get excited as you witness the prayer meetings in the book of Acts? Oh my goodness, God's Spirit moving in response to his people's cries. So why are church prayer meetings so poorly attended? The enemy. His plan is to keep us busy, to keep us tired, to keep us focused on our own issues in our own homes. Satan knows only too well the power of worship and prayer, and the battles we face are won on our knees as we turn our eyes to God. And he is the only one who can make a difference in these difficult times in which the Bible has warned us that we will live. We are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. We fight, we pray, we win. So I challenge you, sisters, tonight, in your walk, take a step, grow in the Lord, join us at any of these times and pray. So as I close tonight, I leave you with this. Confident prayers ask the improbable. Confident prayers expect the impossible. And confident prayers receive the unthinkable because of Jesus. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and she who seeks finds, and to she who knocks it will be opened. Because of Jesus' command, we boldly ask the improbable. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Because of Jesus' promise, we expect the impossible. And the precious words of Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Because of Jesus' power, we receive the unthinkable. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you, Father, tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share and encourage and strengthen and stir my sisters. And God, I do pray for a praying church, Lord. We all do. We come together tonight and ask you for a praying church. You are the God that is mighty to save, Lord Jesus. Only you, God. Our confidence is in only you, God. And in the blood of Jesus that gives us complete confidence in you, Lord. So be with my sisters tonight. May your spirit move mightily in their group discussion. I thank you for them. I ask you to change their hearts. I ask you to do a great work in their life. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.